Now, Wisconsin promised Foxconn up to $3 billion in tax incentives back in 2017. In return, Foxconn said it would create 13,000 jobs in the state. 4 years later, Foxconn has created fewer than 1,000 jobs in Wisconsin, and the company's plans have changed repeatedly over the years. The future of Foxconn in the state is still unclear. This week, after over a year of negotiations, Governor Evers announced that the state reached a new deal with Foxconn. The deal will cut billions of dollars in tax credits to the company and officially size down the company's projected presence in the state. We're talking about the new deal between Wisconsin and the technology giant, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to the news that Wisconsin is reducing tax subsidies to Foxconn? Do you think it's the right thing to do? Do you live in the Mount Pleasant area at the center of all of this? How have the past 4 years or so been for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Corey Hess is WPR's Milwaukee reporter. I talked to her earlier this afternoon about the new deal. Well, this is a pretty big change, this state deal with Foxconn. Can you tell us some of the biggest differences in this new deal compared to the old one?
It is a big change, and there are a lot of differences. So the biggest one is the amount of taxpayer dollars that Foxconn could receive if it fulfills some of the promises that it has made. To begin with, you know, Foxconn had gotten one of the best deals that any company had ever gotten in the U.S., which was nearly $3 billion in exchange for 13,000 jobs. And that deal was struck by former Governor Scott Walker and a GOP-led legislature in 2017. The new deal is for $80 million in tax breaks in exchange for just under 1,500 jobs by 2024.
And the kind of work they're doing at this site has changed a lot. It was going to be these big, fancy screens, these super high-tech screens. That's been a moving target. What does the new deal say about the kind of work they do there and how much flexibility they have with what they make?
Well, that's another big thing. So the original contract really specified what they had to do, which was to make screens and do this specific manufacturing. And that's been a sticking point because Foxconn kind of said right away, you know, we can't do this here. We need this glass plant, which then it turned out they couldn't get it. And then they made screens. They were going to say, well, we need smaller screens. Then that kind of flopped. And they've changed what they were going to do many times. So the new contract does not say what they have to do. They just need to, you know, create some jobs and build something. And so that's good for Foxconn, and it's good for the state because maybe now something could happen in Mount Pleasant.
I want to hear from you what both sides said here. At some points, it seemed like as this was going on, this saga, it seemed a little adversarial between the Evers administration and Foxconn. Seems like everybody's talking nice now. What did we hear from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation about this deal?
You know, you're right. And it was adversarial. And I think it's because, you know, what I was just talking about, Foxconn was sort of in this corner of they have to make this certain thing. I think everyone realized Foxconn couldn't make it. And the state was just like, what are you doing? And now I think everybody, Wisconsin Economic Development Corp, everyone's just like, you know, now it's a new day. We can move forward and we're going to get some jobs out of Foxconn. I do think that some people are still a little bit unsure because of the track record with this company, but, you know, time will tell.
And we'll be watching over time. Did Foxconn say anything after this deal was reached about, okay, this is what we're really going to do in this spot now?
No. Foxconn said that this gives them more clarity. One thing that Foxconn has been eyeing is developing electric cars. They announced a few months ago that that's what they want to do, although they say they're not going to make a decision on that until July. They're looking at Wisconsin, but they're also looking at Mexico. So I'm not sure if that's going to come to fruition.
Corey, thanks a lot for giving us the details.
Thanks so much.
That was WPR reporter Corey Hess. I talked to her earlier today about the new deal between Wisconsin and Foxconn. Michael Farron joins us now. He's a research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. His research focuses on the relationship between business and government, including government subsidies. Michael, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Before we dig into Foxconn in Wisconsin in particular, Michael, do you think we have any big lessons in your research on how well subsidies work at developing local economies?
So, yeah, actually, Foxconn kind of gives you the poster child for that, that subsidies don't work, that even the largest subsidy that most people have ever seen, including most researchers like myself, especially on a per job basis, wasn't enough to actually sway the company to actually locate operations in the state and start the operations that they originally intended. And that kind of complies with the broader research on these kind of subsidy programs in general, which find that 7 out of every 8 subsidies aren't likely to actually sway a company's decision of where to locate or whether to expand. So that means that almost 90% of subsidies don't achieve their primary purpose.
In that other about 10%, are there lessons? Is there a better way, a righter way to do subsidies to get what a state or local leader wants out of them?
So unfortunately, I wouldn't say so, because that other 10% is what my colleagues and I like to call flighty firms. And the best examples of these are subsidies for professional sports and film subsidies, where the teams, by maintaining a contrived scarcity in the amount of professional sports teams, are able to play cities off against each other in order to get the best stadium deal. And in the case of film subsidies, Georgia is showing right now how that can get out of hand. They haven't put a cap on their film subsidy program. They're on the hook to provide over $1 billion in subsidies this coming year, I believe. And essentially what the problem with that is these kind of operations can happen just about anywhere, because you just need a large dark shell as a soundstage to film a movie or a show. So in other words, what you're coming up against is when those 10% of subsidies that actually do work don't actually create a lot of economic development that is sustainable, because as soon as the subsidies dry up, the operations go for some other place that is offering subsidies. So it's another argument in favor of that states should find ways to cooperate to get rid of subsidies altogether.
If I'm a governor or mayor or economic development official of some sort, it's got to be tempting, though, right? Even if I'm not getting a huge bargain out of bringing the company, you know, at least I'm getting something in, I don't know, Illinois isn't, right? I even if the investment isn't paying off huge dividends, it seems like there's that mindset that we still get a little ahead. What would you say to me if I were in that position?
I would say that that makes perfect political sense, even if subsidies generally don't make economic sense. And this is based on research by Nate Jensen at the University of Texas at Austin and his colleague and co-author at Duke University. And so essentially what they found is that it is in politicians' best interest to provide subsidies, because it seems to help them at the ballot box. And Kaylin Slattery and Owen Zedar's research finds the same things, that governors in re-election years tend to provide more subsidies than in non-election years. But the good news is this research also finds that if the public is educated about the fact that subsidies generally don't work, and that there are trade-offs, that every dollar spent on a subsidy is a one less dollar that can be purposed for broad programs that support social well-being, like education or public safety or health programs, or it's $1 that is can't go to a broad-based tax cut that would benefit all businesses or benefit all households. Once those trade-offs are made apparent, the public's appreciation or approval of subsidy programs shifts the other direction. And I think that's partly what you saw in Wisconsin with the public shift against the Foxconn subsidies, because the size of the subsidies made people realize that there's a lot that could have been done with that money to help other programs and other policies. And our own research finds that Wisconsin could have cut its corporate income tax by its corporate income tax rate by 24% to the benefit of all businesses, as opposed to giving one large subsidy to Foxconn.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Mark is with us in Green Bay. Mark, hi.
Hey, how's it going? Your guest hit it on the head. Foxconn was Scott Walker's plan to get reelected in 2018. Wisconsin doesn't need Foxconn. We don't even have employees to man Foxconn's plant that they wanted to build. What were they going to do, import workers from Mexico or Taiwan? Manufacturers in this state can't even find enough employees the way it is.
Mark, thanks a lot for the call. And I know there have been concerns about lack, especially of highly technically trained employees, other businesses having trouble, forget Foxconn, getting those kinds of employees. Michael, the idea here was this is going to create Wisconsin's answer to Silicon Valley. Is that something that a government can help make happen?
So yes and no. What the idea is that you have an anchor firm, or that creates a clustering effect in the same way that a large retail store is an anchor store at a mall, and then it brings in lots of other stores that can co-locate as a result of the mall attracting customers. Same sort of thing, although in economics is called clustering effects. And it's the reason why Detroit turned into kind of the hub of the auto manufacturing industry in the early 1900s. But the problem is Detroit became that hub because of certain natural advantages, not because of government subsidies or an artificially created set of advantages. And everybody's trying to become the next Silicon Valley right now. Everybody's chasing the last big thing. And the fact is that the more you get of chasing the last big thing, the less likely it is to happen. And so there are some situations where governments can claim, like, we created this cluster by our excessive or very large subsidies, at the very least, let's say, to foment this cluster. But in the reality, you have to ask yourself, well, what did you trade off? What would you give up in exchange for that? And the originators of the cluster research said that often government attempts to create a cluster may forestall another cluster from emerging that would be more sustainable for the region.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to George Mason University researcher Michael Farron about Wisconsin's deal with Foxconn after Governor Evers announced a new agreement with lower subsidies than the original plan. You can join in with your reactions at 800-642-1234. Are you still holding out hope that Foxconn is going to work out well here in Wisconsin? What do you think of the idea of still keeping some subsidies but smaller than that original plan? What do you think in general about the idea of states or local governments subsidizing businesses to try to lure them into an area or keep them in that area? Call 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk now with George Mason University researcher Michael Farron, who's looked at government subsidies that aim to attract or retain businesses. This week, the state renegotiated a deal with Foxconn. It includes a major decrease in tax credits to the company. You can join in with your thoughts on that at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Michael is with us in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. So first off, I just think that it's I applaud Governor Evers for his renegotiating of the deal. I think it's unfortunate that he inherited Walker's mistake with the tax credits for Foxconn. Furthermore, I you know, want to echo some of the sentiments against generally tax subsidies, especially large tax subsidies for companies or especially specific organizations. I think it contributes to the overall sort of race to the bottom kind of mentality that seems to exist in a lot of especially red states concerning things like environmental regulations, labor laws, and the like. You can compare Minnesota over the last, under their current administration, Wisconsin under Walker, to see some of the differences. But I don't know, maybe the federal government could step in and do something with their ability to regulate interstate commerce to prevent the sort of interstate battles. I don't know.
Thanks a lot for the call. So, Michael, other Michael, seeing this as a race to the bottom, subsidies, but also maybe environmental regulation cuts or minimum wage laws, taxes. What do you think, Michael Farron?
Absolutely. And I think your caller really hit the nail on the head in terms of like, let's talk about solutions to this, because the best estimate we have for the amount spent on this subsidy arms race between states and cities across the U.S. every year is about $95 billion. And if you factor in the fact that, again, about 90% of subsidies generally don't work at their primary purpose, which is changing a company's decision of where to locate or expand, then that represents an enormous amount of money that could be repurposed to a better outcome. I have a paper out with John Mazzena of the Center for Economic Accountability from last spring, arguing that the COVID relief funds actually provide a good argument for the federal government to step in and under its authority over interstate commerce to say, these subsidies are clearly an attempt to interfere with interstate commerce. So the federal government just says, no states, no cities may do this anymore. If anyone is going to fund a particular business or industry, it should be done as a national policy at the national level. Arguably, there's problems with that as well. But at the very least, getting rid of a state-based approach where different states are competing over these plants and projects, because Wisconsin was competing with Michigan and other Midwestern states for Foxconn and arguably spent more than it would have otherwise needed to because of that competition between the states. And if the states want to do something themselves, they don't have to wait for Washington to get involved. There's growing effort among a number of different states. 13 states have already been moving down this road this year of creating an interstate compact to jointly and simultaneously agree to get rid of subsidies and to move in a more holistic and helpful direction of economic development rather than focusing on privileging particular corporations.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Heidi now in Burton. Heidi, hello.
Hello there. My thoughts on Foxconn from the beginning was that why are we giving them money to come here? They should be paying us because they needed our natural resources, and those natural resources aren't available all over the place. So I really thought we got this whole deal in the first place was done wrong.
Heidi, are you referring to the water situation?
Yes, I am. That water situation, where else could they really build? Yeah, there's a few other places, but they should have been. Then what they could have done is bargained on which area was going to charge them less money for their water, you know.
Heidi, thanks a lot for the call. So Heidi saying, Michael, you know, take advantage if this location is important with, in this case, the fresh water supply that was needed, make them pay for it. What do you think?
I think that Heidi is exactly on track, and she's echoing what economists have found for the last few decades, that the question is if subsidies don't work at swaying where a company decides to locate, then what does? And the answer is broadly available resources, and specifically, most often, available talent, so human resources, but also natural resources and access to customers and to suppliers, so logistics. Those three things matter far more to where a company decides to locate more than anything else. And in the case of Foxconn, I found it very interesting. It might be a coincidence, but might not, that the Foxconn site kind of perfectly straddles the basin from where it's able to draw water from the Great Lakes, but is also able to potentially discharge wastewater to the Mississippi River drainage basin instead.
Thanks a lot for that call. Michael, in our last minute, do you think that states in particular are going to look at the Foxconn original deal and maybe a little more leery of throwing down, you know, a $3 billion kind of subsidy plan?
You know, Rob, I would hope so, but in the recovery from the pandemic recession, I'm not too optimistic. We saw a surge in economic development programs as politicians tried to signal to their constituents that they were doing something to help the local community after the financial crisis. And actually, this entire interstate arms race started during right after the Great Depression, when Mississippi fired the first shot by trying to subsidize companies to move to the state there. And it was thought to be a great idea at that point, but the intervening decades has just seen it kind of grow out of proportion. And so I'd like it to be a warning case for other states, but in the current climate, I'm a little bit skeptical.
Michael, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Michael Farron, research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. His research focuses on the relationship between business and government. He joined us for a look at Foxconn and Wisconsin after the announcement of a revised deal between the state and the technology company.